All right, well, good afternoon. Thank you, Pamela, and thank you, everyone, for having me here today. I want to also thank my co-authors and colleagues and advisors from the George Washington University who helped work with me through this presentation and this project. I have nothing to disclose. And in terms of the funding support, I have George Washington University as well as American Institutes for Research to thank. So what I'm here today to talk about is how bystander interventions can help prevent dating violence. And really what I'm looking at is to whether a brief and easy to implement intervention can increase bystander behaviors to prevent dating violence. And as a little bit of background on bystander behaviors and bystander interventions, this is growing increasing attention in the public. The White House has recently been focusing on this as an evidence-based method to prevent sexual assault. And what it does is it focuses on how preventing violence is everyone's responsibility. It's not the victim's responsibility, it's not the perpetrator's responsibility. Everyone has a role as friends and strangers to try to prevent dating violence or the violence at hand. And as some examples of what do we mean when we talk about bystander behaviors, some examples to give that actually came from students as part of this assessment. Some of the behaviors could be when you're talking to your friends, telling your friends that everyone in a relationship deserves to be treated well and with respect. It can also be when you see bruises on a friend's arm, asking about it. Where did those come from? It can also be more direct, and where if you're worried that one of your friends is in an abusive relationship, asking them very directly about it. And it can also be with strangers. If you're at a bar and you see someone potentially touching someone in a way that they don't seem very comfortable, tell the bartender, let someone know about that. So those are some of the actions. Again, it can be towards friends, it can be towards strangers, it can be active, and it can be passive. And there have been a variety of interventions that have been evaluated and demonstrated some promise to increase these types of bystander behaviors. However, to date, most of them have focused on sexual assault as opposed to broader dating violence. And they'd also been more resource and time intensive. And for many university campuses that don't have, unfortunately, ample resources, can be a little bit of a barrier to implement. So what this study did was evaluating an intervention that was a little less time and resource intensive on a health professions university in Southwest Virginia. So these are students who are studying to be a physician assistant, nursing, biomedical, physical therapy, and emergency services. And they've had this program on its campus since 2008, and it tackles a broad array of dating violence issues, and two parts specifically focus on bystanders, and that's the part that we evaluated to see, does it have an effect? And the two parts being, first is when all new students come in, they're given a 30-minute presentation as part of new student orientation. And then about 3 months later, there's a social marketing campaign on the campus. It's called the Red Flag Campaign. And so this is a screenshot of, I'm not going to show you the full video just because of time constraints, but this is part of the presentation that students get at new student orientation. So the instructor, who's a social worker by training, she stands up there for about 30 minutes and first gives an overview on statistics of dating violence and how much of a problem it is on college campuses. She highlights some news stories from the local community to show how it's a problem in their community. She then shows this video to give students an example of what are the things that they can do as bystanders to intervene. So in this video, what they do is they take you through an evening that ultimately ends in what you're left believing is unfortunately likely a sexual assault. They then rewind through the evening to show all the examples of where someone could have intervened, and that someone could have been the friend, could have been the bartender, could have been strangers, and it could have been the roommate. And this example here is showing the example of strangers, where this woman is being led out by a gentleman out of leaving a bar, and as he's bringing her home, and you can see it when it's actually playing, she's having difficulty walking, she doesn't really seem all that aware, and she passes all these people who saw and could have just asked, is everything okay? You doing okay? Anything we can do? And again, showing all the different points where someone could have intervened to prevent what likely ended in an assault. Then about 3 months in the fall, all students get this red flag campaign. Again, this is a social marketing campaign on the campus. And what they do is there are these various posters that show these red flags or the warning signs of violence. And they focus on the non-physical aspects of dating violence, as what they found is that students are less aware of that. Students generally are aware that physical violence and physical dating violence is a problem, but the non-physical is not something that they're just not as aware of. So this is an example of isolation, where you can see the warning sign, the red flag, is she doesn't let me hang out with my friends. She says I should be, or she should be enough. And then you can see in the white call-out box, it gives students something they can say. And so if your friend says this to you, you can say, that's not love, that's control. Again, giving students some skills and tools of what they can do if they're hearing friends who are potentially in these types of relationships. Okay, so students have these interventions, and now our role was to evaluate, is it having an effect? And we used a non-equivalent comparison group design, which is a fancy way of saying we had an intervention group and we had a comparison group that didn't get the intervention. And we assessed baseline pre-intervention as well as post with a self-reported survey to be able to isolate to see if there were any changes at the intervention university. You can see in terms of our intervention surveys from the baseline pre-intervention, we had a moderate response rate, but after the intervention, our post-response, it was 13% and 17%, not as high as we would have liked despite multiple follow-ups, but it was midterms at that point in time, so that was part of the unfortunate, not a strong response rate. The outcomes that we evaluated were consistent with the integrated behavioral model, which is a newer form from Fishbein and Eisen of theory of planned behavior. And what that really focuses on is how attitudes, social norms, and self-efficacy predict intentions or behavioral intentions, which in turn predicts behaviors. So those were our main outcome measures we wanted to assess, which is also consistent with prior research. In terms of our respondent population, it was fairly reflective of the actual university populations, both the intervention and comparison group, which is good. That's what you'd want to see. We had majority of our respondents were female and white, but again, that is reflective of the student bodies at these two universities. They're also slightly older student populations, but also reflective of the types of students who are going to these universities. About 40% have known someone who's been a victim of dating violence or sexual assault at baseline, and 13 to 17% admit that they themselves at baseline prior to starting college had experienced this. So what did we find? After the intervention, they get the new student orientation and the week-long social marketing campaign. What effect did it have? We found that it did have a positive increase in students reporting acts of bystander behaviors, and that after the intervention, students reported 1.4 more bystander behaviors than they had before getting the interventions. We then wanted to look to see what factors or covariates also impacted that relationship, and we found especially that prior dating violence experience also had a positive effect. So meaning that individuals who had prior dating violence experience, either they themselves or knowing someone, they were also more likely to report engaging in these bystander behaviors. We did not find any change or effect in self-reported bystander behavioral intentions, attitudes, social norms, or self-efficacy. We then wanted to see, okay, well, we saw a change in behaviors. Well, what could be the drivers of the change in behavior? So using the integrated behavioral model as kind of our framework, we wanted to essentially test that. And what we found was that self-efficacy was directly associated with an increase in bystander behaviors and actually had a fairly moderate effect. This is an example or the description of path analysis, which is where we're trying to test essentially this theory. And in addition to self-efficacy having a direct relationship to bystander behaviors, as I mentioned, it also had a direct association with behavioral intentions. But as a whole, the other variables didn't quite pan out as integrated behavioral model would suggest, and we found that intentions actually did not mediate the relationship with behaviors. But again, the real takeaway from this is that self-efficacy was associated with both intentions as well as the bystander behaviors. So what did this all mean? This is one of the first known studies to look at, can a bystander behavior program to prevent dating violence as opposed to just sexual assault, does it have an impact? And again, especially one that's less time and resource intensive. And it does show that a less intensive intervention can have a modest impact on behaviors, and which is especially promising given that our post-assessment was 3 months after college. So it really wasn't all that much amount of time for a behavior change to really take effect. Despite the promise, given the magnitude of an impact from other studies that have found, perhaps a little bit more intensivity could help further improve this. And so one suggestion I had in working with the university is that trying to instill more peer groups and peer advisors to deliver the intervention. And so since the intervention is primarily delivered by an instructor who's a social worker and a great individual, but we know from the literature that peers learn better from other peers, and some of the other programs at other universities are using more peer leaders. And I think that's a relatively easy change for the university to be able to try to make in the future. And I'd also suggest that, given the research findings, focusing more on self-efficacy or skills and giving students the confidence on what they can actually do to intervene would also be a way to help further improve this. As with any research, there's always limitations. Just a couple to point out is that, you know, the response rate we had, especially post-intervention, was not as high as would have desired despite multiple follow-ups. These are all health profession students, so they're already focused on health, and they had very high baseline scores, meaning that they already reported strong intentions, strong attitudes, norms, and self-efficacy towards bystander behavior. So there wasn't that much room to move the needle. And so it was great that they were already, you know, saying they had strong intentions, but with that, you don't have as far to move a needle with the intervention. And the since the students in these universities, they're majority female and white, they're not necessarily reflective of all students across all universities. That's all I have. Thank you.
Well, in light of how very concise you kept that, it's impressive and not a skill I myself possess. Does anybody have one or perhaps two questions that folks want to ask Amanda at this point? I guess in the back.
So I was curious, for your social marketing campaign, why you chose to have that be a week long rather than a longer time period, because then, I don't know if a lot of people know, there's a first set of few weeks where it's more likely for your sexual assault to occur on the college campus. And then, as well as, are there cues or points throughout the semester or quarter system, whatever you operate on, where students can recognize